All right, welcome back to Sports Talk with Dumb Bias People. Episode 3 on our podcast. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully you guys enjoyed week 17 as much as we did, because we got some things we want to get into and some playoff prep.
I enjoyed it.
And, yeah. Well, of course. Of course you did. You validated your finance peasant as a quarterback somehow.
True.
The Cinderella of the NFL. So yeah, we got a lot to talk to with playoffs. Your guys take some stuff. And just starting right off the bat with you guys, how do you guys feel your guys' season went as Rams and Cowboys fans? Robert, how do you feel about your season?
Yeah, as predicted, once Dak went down, we knew it wasn't going to be a good season. But somehow we were still in the mix thanks to everybody else in the NFC East doing terrible. We had a chance, but, man, we look like straight garbage out there. So it's pretty frustrating watching that game, but at the end of the day, Washington still beat Philly out there. So it didn't really matter. We'll get into Philly later, but, yeah, pretty disappointing year all around.
Corey, on your Lambs, how do you feel about the Lambs?
Feeling pretty good again. I mean, they kind of put me on a roller coaster the last 4 weeks after the – embarrassing loss to the Jets, and then a pretty bad loss to the Seahawks, thanks to Jared Goff. But, you know, the arrival of the white Russell Wilson, Johnny Wolford, coming in last week. You know, we didn't score a touchdown, but that's not his fault. You know, you fumble at the goal line and have some pretty dumb offensive plays. I don't put it all on him. But, no, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about our game next week against Seattle. I think we're going to come out and shock some people. As long as Goff doesn't come into play, I just hope to God they don't put Goff in. I hope they stick with Daddy Wolford.
It sounded like it's kind of difficult. We'll talk about that stuff later, I'm sure. Going forward, one thing I do want to point out though is I did some research on Prescott and Goff. In terms of the stats, I don't know if you guys know this, but they've both started the same number of games. Did you guys know that?
I did not know that.
They both started 69 games. Key
nice.
Number.
Good number.
You want to guess who's won more games between the two?
Oh, I mean, Jared Goff for sure has won more games.
Wellborn?
I was obviously going to go Dak there.
Okay, as you should. You guys are both kind of right and wrong at the same time.
Ooh, Ty?
They're both 42 and 27 as starting quarterbacks for their team.
42 Solid. And 27. 27 is a good number.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know Dak had that many wins, to be honest with you.
Yep, which ranks them in the top 10 quarterback for winning percentage in the NFL of active quarterbacks during the regular season.
That's very impressive. Interesting.
But obviously, we don't want Goff.
Nope, not anymore.
Let's, let's recap some of the picks we had last week. So Robert had the Rams and the Colts. As I think you had the Rams and the Colts, right?
I had the Colts.
He wanted to pick the Rams secretly, but he would never.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, this is who's not going to make the playoffs. I'm sorry. This is not going to make the playoffs. You said the Rams and the Colts were not going to make it.
Is that 0-2?
And he went 0-2, which brings his total to 1-3 on picks. And for the listeners, remember that we're not picking the easy games, except for
Wellborn,
I think one.
Except for the Chiefs games, but
yes. So we're trying not to pick the easy games because that's too boring. Corey picked the Cardinals and the Browns to not make it, so he was kind of like a win-win on that one.
I mean, the Browns, they shouldn't.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, pathetic.
Well, so that brings your total 2-2, and then I had the Bears not making it and the Dolphins not making it, and the Dolphins got annihilated, solidifying the pretender pick by Robert. But of course, they're way ahead of schedule, so I got to look at it as positive.
Another easy choice.
I mean, they almost didn't make. They almost made the playoffs, and they had the number 3 pick in the draft. So you got to say that's kind of they're going the right direction.
Yeah, it's a win for them.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So brings my total 3-1.
They can now draft a real quarterback.
Oh, Ryan Fitzpatrick Jr. So we're going to do the Week 17 recap. So I'm going to recap a couple things, and you guys feel free to chime in if you have anything to say. But the first thing I saw that was obviously interesting was the Bills and how they dominated the playoff team. I think that was my pick, was the Dolphins weren't going to make it because the Bills weren't going to have any part of that, and they were going to just pretty much not allow a team in their division to make it in.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was pretty impressive, and Tua wasn't there to be saved by Fitzpatrick. So
true.
We can see how that little project went. The second thing I have, first off, I want to say, have you guys seen Jurassic Park, the first original Jurassic Park?
Of course.
I'm pretty sure you have.
Corey probably because hasn't.
Too many times, yeah.
Well, his child actually watches Jurassic Park.
I don't see many sports movies, but I've seen all the Jurassic Park movies, probably.
So, remember the part where the hunter is trying to capture the velociraptors and they're in the woods? And he ends up being killed by the velociraptor. And right before he gets killed, he says, "Clever girl."
Yeah, classic. Yep.
So my clever girl moment was Mike Tomlin, when he saw the schedule and he saw that the Browns needed to win to get into the playoffs. And he decided to bench his key players. And he had a lot of his backups playing because the Browns, I understand the Browns had some issues with COVID and not practicing.
Yeah.
But to allow their backup quarterback on the Steelers, who was terrible last year, to throw for I think 300 yards and was a 2-point conversion away from winning in Cleveland, to me, Mike Tomlin, this is Mike Tomlin's master plan, because he now has the Browns coming to Pittsburgh with his team on track, and they manhandled them by 31 points earlier in the year. So I thought that was kind of a clever girl moment by Mike Tomlin. I think he meant to do that.
It's pretty calculated. I like that, actually.
Yeah, so
smart.
And we'll get to those picks later. Adam Gase is fired. We obviously talked about the last couple weeks, so he's finally fired. In our Facebook page, we had people talking about how they wanted to support Darnold and give him a chance, and it looks like that chance is not going to happen, because usually when a new coach comes in, they want their own quarterback. So yeah. Probably goodbye to Darnold. Maybe he'll go to the Bears. Maybe the Rams. Who knows? Who knows where he's going to go?
Yeah.
What's up?
One of my last points, second last points. So I know this kind of conflicts with Robert, but what I saw was that was interesting. The Titans-Texans games, the Titans were up by 3. In the fourth quarter, they had the ball at the 50-yard line, and it was 4th-and-11, I believe. And they don't trust their defense at all. So they went for it in 4th-and-11 while they were up by 3 at the 50-yard line, and they ended up not converting, which allowed the Texans to go down and score. And obviously we know the Titans ended up winning, but when I see a playoff team that has no trust in their defense – granted, you could counterpoint and say they have a lot of trust in their offense, but if you're going to the playoffs and you have no trust in your defense, to me, that's a huge red flag.
Oh, yeah. Especially to win the AFC, you got to play the Bills, right? My contender pick. The Bills or the Chiefs, obviously. It's kind of weird. I didn't realize that because I didn't watch all of that game. But I saw the
end.
I didn't notice that either.
But I'll get into that a little bit later. But, yeah, that was pretty surprising. Didn't know that they were put in that situation and decided to just go for it instead of rely on their defense. That's interesting.
Yep. So you can, like I said, you can look at that two ways. Offense is legit and amazing, mm-hmm. but 4th-and-11 on the 50, up by, when you're winning by 3, is kind of weird.
Yeah,
the last talking point, which we'll probably kind of elaborate on here a little bit, all of us. The way the regular season ended was probably the most painful train wreck, but you couldn't stop watching. At least I couldn't stop watching. Because you couldn't believe it. I don't know about you guys, but the whole fourth quarter for that Eagles game, I watched every single drive waiting for someone else to come in at quarterback. And they just put Nate Sudfeld out over and over again with the justification of, we want to see his potential when we have tape of him playing quarterback for the Redskins. At the time, the Redskins. That was weird. And then the aftermath, and it was funny because every time they went to Jalen Hurts, I watched
every play of that game. I'm sitting here with my little brother, who's for some reason a Giants fan. Thanks, Dad. So I was kind of pulling for the Giants to pull through and win. I thought it'd be funny to see, you know, what are they, 6-10 New York Giants team make the playoffs. That made me mad. And I didn't care about the outcome of the game, but as a fan, I was like, what are you doing? Clearly, they weren't trying. I know Doug Peterson came out the day before or the day after and said, yeah, I was trying to win. Like, bullshit, dude. Why can't you just be straight up?
Yep. And then that's why, like, awful. You know, for us, this is the fan's take. From the fan's take, like, that makes no sense. But talking, I think you guys have probably talked to some people too, but talking to different Giants fans, talking to some football team fans, and some Eagles fans, it's very interesting because you have different ways of looking at it. For one, as an Eagles fan, yeah, you have complete – you've probably created a huge issue in your locker room now. Because even today, Miles Sanders went on the radio and said that all the players were confused and they were not on the same page, which contradicts what Jim Schwartz was doing, because this was Jim Schwartz's last game. He's possibly retiring as a D coordinator for the Eagles. And he wanted to go out on top, and he wanted to stop the Washington football team. And, you know, you don't want to see anyone winning your field. But then to have Peterson make that justification, and it feels like he lost the whole locker room. And for him to be continued as the coach into next year, like, that's a pretty bold move. And you've made enemies of Giants fans for the rest of your life, which I think is amazing, because I've never seen a Giants so angry since, let me recall, 2002. When the Giants were up 38-14 on the Niners in the third quarter, and then they decided to blow the game and had some legitimate penalty, which was completely a complete correct call, of course, you know. Not a Niners fan or anything.
Or how about when they kicked that line drive punt to DeSean Jackson?
That's a pretty good one. Off in the middle, Lance.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yep. Pretty good. So it's kind of funny, some of the aftermath of this. For the Eagles fans, yeah, you go from the ninth pick to the sixth pick, but you've potentially lost the whole locker room.
That was my point. Like, is it worth it to move up three picks to lose a lot of your players? I saw reports that some player – I didn't see it on video, but some players had to be held back by confronting Peterson on the sidelines during the game. And, yeah, you saw all the videos of Jalen Hurts. You could read his lips. That's pathetic.
Yeah, not only that, but now you divided the locker room, and nobody knows what's going to happen in the offseason with Carson Wentz. So now you told your team that you don't have confidence in Jalen Hurts, or you are just tanking, but what are they supposed to expect or understand out of that? So now they're thinking, oh, do we trust Jalen Hurts now, or are we going to stick with Carson Wentz? So depending on what they do with that situation, there might be QB controversy heading into next year as well.
For sure. And what are they like? When did they win that Super Bowl? 4 years ago? 4 or 5 years ago? Three?
Yeah, about that.
It's crazy a team go from that.
Think about 3 years
ago. From that to this so quick.
And Joe Judge just came out, and I just saw the press conference he had where he was just going to town on Peterson for losing the integrity of the game and everybody putting everything aside for this COVID season, to putting families on the side and everything like that, and then just ruin it by – and granted, everybody gives him crap because, they start off terrible, and they're saying, don't finish 6-10 if you want to make the playoffs. But at the same time, it's the integrity of the game.
Yeah.
So I think the winner in this whole – like, you can say this has a ripple effect on the whole NFC East, because one way to look at it is if Dallas would have won their game, this would have been like a rallying point of everyone against the Cowboys as like a hilarious mocking way of
you didn't make a playoff. I would have loved every second of it.
The only thing that comes positive out of all this is everybody's rooting for Alex Smith now.
Oh, of course. And I wonder if that's – I wonder if deep down they're like, you know, we kind of want to see Alex Smith in the playoffs. And I don't know. Yeah. I just think it was a cheap way to come out. But then again, do you blame the NFL for flexing that game? Like, didn't they flex that game to later so everybody could watch that complete dumpster fire? Like,
I'm not sure, honestly. Well, Washington, though, like, that is the feel-good story of Alex Smith. Wasn't supposed to play, was told he may die, he may get his leg amputated, a lot of different things. He may not walk ever again. Then you have Ron Rivera, who's now a cancer survivor. And you have all this feel-good stuff going for Washington. So, you know, that's a great story. But to me, the real winner of this whole situation is the Giants. And a smart Giants fan, in my opinion, should love the situation, because yes, I would have loved watching the Giants play the Bucs because they have Tom Brady's number, and that would have been amazing to justify that game and watch and cheer for that. But you're essentially getting two draft picks next year. You're essentially getting your top 10 draft pick. You're getting Saquon Barkley back. That's another top 10 draft pick, essentially. And you get to essentially rally your whole team at the hatred of now the Philadelphia Eagles and build, in my opinion, a solid locker room and a rallying point of how they felt like they were screwed. Like, Joe Judge is, in my opinion, the absolute winner in this situation, because he essentially can't say anything wrong. He's going to get all the support. He's going to get another top 10 pick. You guys can make the playoffs. It's the same thing I've been telling Robert. Like, you don't want to make the playoffs. Like, all those teams, they'll maybe can pull off a game, but that's tough. to go that far with a team with on out of the NFC East. Maybe if you guys got a super team, you guys can maybe win two games, but maybe, yeah. But so that was my take on all that stuff, the MC East. I don't know if you guys had anything else you want to add on before we move on. But
I think it was the perfect way for week 17 to end.
100% right. As much as people are mad at it, in my opinion, it is an amazing way to end the season. It's very different, and it gives a lot of people talking points and makes the offseason interesting and makes going into next year. Even the MC East, I don't like any teams in MC East personally, but watching those rivalries, I'll be interested now to see if the Giants want to run the score up, or you know how teams treat the Eagles now. It'll be interesting to me.
It's a good storyline leading up to next year for sure, especially for that crappy division, you know.
And maybe the Cowboys won't be the most hated team in the NFC East or the NFL.
That's a good way to look at that. Yeah, just don't deflect. Yeah, just Cowboy fans need to shut up for 3-4 days. Don't eat them, boys. Don't say anything about winning the Super Bowl, at least for like 4 or 5 days. Let that sink in. But, you know, I don't think
we'll start back up on draft day.
But I was going to say, I haven't heard a single Cowboys fan since that loss. So
it'd be smart to just let it be. All right. So with that, I'm going to ask you guys now for the end of the segment, what was your biggest surprise of the week? Robert, if you want to lead us off on what you thought your biggest surprise of the week on top of what we already talked about for week 17 was.
I'll keep it pretty short just because that was obviously the biggest thing in the NFL this past week. But the Rams did lock up a playoff position.
Thank you.
But doing so without scoring a single offensive touchdown was even more impressive. Yes, they would have gotten help by the Bears losing to the Packers, but say things would have went different that way and the Bears would have beat the Packers somehow, some way. They still would have locked up that position somehow, again, with zero offensive touchdowns, which I just find pretty impressive with having Wolford in instead of, you know, Goffel, who actually put up yardage and touchdowns the last time they played the Cardinals. Wolford couldn't do it, but they still was able to pull out the victory without scoring any touchdowns.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean that's kind of crazy.
We were a yard.
Good defense, though.
Yeah, we're just showcasing our defense. You know, we've won plenty of games against Seattle over the years, like field goal games. So you know, not worried about it.
Yeah, lost to the Niners twice. But Corey, what's your surprise for Week 17?
You know, since Robert was so kind to bring up the Rams, I'll talk about the Cowboys and my surprise of the week. I mean, we all know what the NFC East is. We've talked about it already, but. Robert, correct me if I'm wrong. Before this game, you guys had beaten the Giants in 7 straight games. Is that correct?
Okay.
That's correct. I looked it up online. So I'll just go with that. Dallas is coming off 2 big wins, coming in with a chance to possibly, I know that they wouldn't have gotten anyways if they would have won, but to possibly somehow survive an awful season and try to lock up a playoff spot. They kind of sucked it up against the Giants, the lowly Giants without Saquon Barkley. The Giants got 6 sacks that game, which doubled their season total in a game. Not season total, but high in a game all year. Dalton was your leading rusher with 48 yards. Are you kidding me? 48,
was that a question there?
No, I mean, it was kind of just a low dig, but I mean, how much are you guys paying Zeke and he can't even get 48 yards? That's embarrassing. Schultz led all receivers with 70. Didn't you guys get Amari Cooper? You got CeeDee Lamb, and that's your, I mean, in a must-win game. That's all that showed up. It's kind of sad.
Dalton did have, it was at one point, midpoint in the second quarter, and the stat, obviously, I knew it was terrible, but the stat line came across the bottom, and it was 16 yards passing, and I was like, yep, this is going to be another one of those games. So, yeah,
Not to shit on the Cowboys too much, but I feel like even as an outsider, they should have came out and won that game for sure. I saw Dalton try to do his best Curt Schilling bloody sock impersonation with the hand. Didn't work. Didn't work too well. I saw that failed challenge. McCarthy didn't challenge that resulted in a field goal for the Giants. That could have came back and changed the outcome of that game for sure, considering you guys were on down by 4, could have been down by 1. Just a brutal game. And then just to finish that off, it's the first time since 2011 Dallas has missed the playoffs in back-to-back seasons. So just throwing that out there.
Oh, one question for Robert, and then I'll let you make your closing arguments. To me, they have to fire someone. And we've already talked on the side. It's not being McCarthy. It's been 1 year. I get that. But you got to fire Mike Nolan, right? You have to fire
Mike Nolan. There's too much talent on the defense. Obviously, people know the names of Van Der Esch, DeMarcus Lawrence, Jalen Smith.
Leon Lett,
Adon Smith. Like, you have these top-name players out there, and it's just not getting the job done. So you got to blame someone. And the defensive coordinator's not getting it done. So, yeah, if Mike Nolan could be gone, that would be great.
Yeah, I mean,
you know who on the defense did thrive this year, though? I just want to throw this really quickly. Randy Gregory did a really good job as a UFC fighter. So you know, I just want to throw that out.
One good stat from the Cowboys 2020 season. I like that.
So
yep.
I will real quick so we can move on.
We don't have to move on. I got some more stats I can throw out.
We do have some. We did mark this down as a surprising segment, but I don't know if it's that surprising. Everybody knows you got Stephen A. Smith. Dallas chokes, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is the second straight year. Week 17, we could have made the playoffs, and last year was the same thing. But we won last year and needed another team to win, and they lost it for us just like this year. So it's more of a repetitive thing more than a surprise.
It's just rough. I mean, if you would have had just one more win, like against the Rams in week one, you guys would have been put.
No.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mike Nolan, did you guys know that the Cowboys gave up a franchise record in points this year, 473.
And they also have a franchise rushing record to the Browns in week four or five, like 300 yards.
Second most yards in team history given up, too. So, yeah, I think Mike Nolan's going to go.
Yeah, it was the absolute worst.
It's awful. Especially with all those.
I did look up some other members.
You can't have all that talent and just Swiss cheese every week. That's got to be insanely frustrating to watch. I love it, but it's got to be frustrating.
Do you know the last time last time Mike Nolan was defensive coordinator before the Cowboys?
Wasn't he on the Niners?
Nope, he was our head coach. So he was last a defensive coordinator, 12 to 14, and that defense was in no rank no higher than the low 20s. Before that, he was a good defensive coordinator before he became head coach for the Niners, and then I think we ruined him, or vice versa.
You guys kind of ruin everybody you guys get, right?
Then from there, he went to
– You guys kind of ruin a lot of players you get.
That's what we do. It's mutual. When he went from being a D coordinator, well, as a failed essentially D coordinator with Atlanta to a linebackers coach in a couple places before Dallas hired him. So it's kind of a weird that Mike McCarthy would go that route with someone that hasn't had success recently in a modern age NFL, if you will. It has very different in the past 8 years, I will say.
I mean, it's
it's what we do.
I don't know. I don't think anything, and I think a lot of people agree, I don't think anything's going to change until Jerry Jones passes away. Like, do you think Bill Belichick can fix that team?
Yep.
I don't know.
He tried to fix another team already. It didn't work. All right. So, Robert, if you have any closing remarks or not, we'll give you one last chance.
Oh, yeah. No, that pretty much wraps it up for the surprises of week 17.
I'm going to give you a to get Corey my final stat. With those.
I'll take it.
I don't go ahead. Go ahead.
I mean, I'll say on top. Legatron was your highest scoring player, and he outscored your second highest player by 85 points. So that's what I was going to end with.
Right. Shouldn't he get a new nickname after?
I don't know. He kicked like a 57 yarder that game, something like that.
No, he did.
Yeah, it's 57 yarder.
Yeah, he's still handling. He's only cost me $250 to Robert in the Vampire League because Mike McCarthy kept kicking field goals. So, well aware of what he's doing.
He was my favorite Rams player for a couple of years, him and Johnny Hecker.
Yeah, well, let's get like Shaq, he should get a new nickname. So, okay. Please,
I'll come on later.
Next podcast.
Tripod.
Okay.
Anyways. So, so that's going to wrap up. And then we're going to get into segment two. All right, before we get into segment two, something I just want to cover really quickly is on our Facebook page, which a lot of you guys have joined. We appreciate that, and we like that talk, having that real-time talk with you guys while watching football. On there, we posted a question, which one of the questions originally was, I think, one of the questions first off was which sports you guys like. So we had NFL, MLB, and all these different options, and a couple of ridiculous options at the end, WNBA, official Air Force Esports.
I saw that one earlier. That was a pretty good one.
So, we had two votes for WNBA, and this one sent me a bunch of information in case I wanted to talk about that. So thank you for the help in that. NFL was we had a good amount of votes for NFL. MLB is right behind that. So I just want to say that we haven't talked much MLB, but I do want to throw out that in segment one, Corey did throw out a Curt Schilling reference. So I hope that holds you guys over until we actually talk baseball. But that's all you guys are going to get for us for now.
Oh, yeah. It'll be some good baseball talk, though, with the trade market stuff. So
yeah,
not the trade market. The
it'll be good.
Free agents.
Yep. And the other poll that we threw out there that was worth talking about is talking about which quarterback do we want the Rams to start? And, of course, he'll talk about that in a little bit.
That's a no-brainer.
Jared Goffel and creepy-looking dude from Wake Forest, which, of course, is Walford. Some guys then added in Kurt Warner, Sam Bradford, Tony Banks. It's Tony Banks. And the one, though, was the extended rant from Corey about whether or not the Little Giants would have beaten the Cowboys of today. And also the Rams sucks. That was the winner. So next, where Corey will have a segment. He actually is doing homework, meaning he's going to watch the movie and actually give an actual answer about that. So that'll be the next episode. Corey will watch Little Giants and give you a reason why that they could have been the Cowboys of today.
That's easy, yeah.
So getting into segment two, what we're going to do is we're going to talk the playoff picture. Now, one of the things that is kind of interesting is usually some of these home teams have big home field advantage. Like we talk about maybe who do you guys think has a home field advantage? Kansas City is one of those teams that have good home field advantage. Who else?
I mean, usually it'd be the Seahawks, but I don't think they're getting any fans.
Yep. Those are the two other ones I was really thinking was the Saints and the Seahawks. And they're both – all three of those teams will be hosting this week or next week because the Chiefs will be hosting next week after their bye. So, you know, those teams is there home field advantage on this one? I don't think there is. I think the only team that really has home field advantage in these playoffs, and you guys can maybe agree or disagree with this, is the Packers playing in that snow and that climate.
Yeah, Packers, Bills, maybe.
Bills. Yeah, you're right, Bills. So maybe those teams have home field advantage. I don't know if there's anyone else that you guys can think of that may have legit, because, I mean, the Frozen Tundra, Green Bay is a very different beast to play at.
I mean, so it's funny you brought this up. I actually had a stat I was going to ask you guys, but since you brought up attendance, I mean, the only playoff teams that have had fans this year is Tampa Bay, Kansas City, Tennessee, Cleveland, Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and New Orleans, and Washington had one game with 3,000 people. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Yeah, well, did you know the top two teams in attendance were Dallas and Jacksonville? Thank you very much. Both losers. So obviously home field advantage this year didn't matter. But I mean, depending on the states that they're in, I mean, if Kansas City can, I mean, they only 17% of the stands are filled. So if they can bump that up a little bit, I know depending on what state you're in, they're a little more lax. But I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know if home field is really going to matter unless weather is going to be the only thing I can think of. I don't think a couple thousand fans are going to really make a difference. I think it's all going to be dependent on the weather.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I agree with obviously, of course, the fans. I don't think that's going to be much of a difference this year. But Green Bay, yeah, I think that's the main one that'll change, just because once we get into the AFC, you got a lot of teams that play in cold weather that's going to travel up there that might be used to it. As in Green Bay, you're probably dealing with some teams down in the South that's not used to it.
True. I think the Bills is the first time that they're going to have fans in attendance, because I don't think they had regular season fans. So I think they just got to prove they have 6,000 to 7,000 fans.
Yeah.
So good for them. And could you imagine the Niners made the playoffs, not even being allowed to play in their home stadium? That would have been a joke. So
that's insane. Yeah, that's so dumb. But yeah, that's probably why they tanked. They just, what's the point, you know?
Are the Rams out of LA? Are they, since they're all California teams, are the Rams playing home games? I mean, they're on the road.
Would they be allowed to? They've been playing. That was something I was going to bring up, just because of what they did in San Francisco. I'm surprised. Sorry, not in San Francisco anymore. But I'm kind of surprised that news hasn't come out yet, that they're not allowed to play down there in LA. But wouldn't be surprised if they changed it on them like a day before, if they even have a chance to have a home game.
Yep.
depending on who wins, right. Obviously, but yeah.
So let's get into these games. So what we're going to do is we're going to quickly, when we do our bets in segment five or picks, we're not going to do straight up. We're not doing anything straight up. We're doing everything with the odds provided. So really quickly, if you aren't familiar with the odds, I'll give you the first one and explain it all out. So we have the Colts, the number 7 seed, playing at the Buffalo Bills, number 2 seed. The odds as of Tuesday or Wednesday was the Bills are favored by a point, by negative 6.5, meaning essentially that if they win by a touchdown or more, if you take that bet, then you win money. If the Bills win by 6 or less, or the Colts win, then the Colts would win that side of that bet if you bet on the Colts, if that makes sense. So we're going to have those in there that we're going to kind of make our picks off of, and we also have the over-under. So we're going to either choose to take the spread or the over-under on these teams. So the first one is the Colts, number 7 at the number 2 Buffalo Bills. Buffalo's favored by minus 6.5, and the over-under is 51.5, so they're projecting that to be a score-out, a shootout game. And really quickly, did you know that these playoffs were brought to you by Nickelodeon? Did you guys know that?
I heard something about that. I heard they were playing one of the games.
Saints and Bears.
Yeah.
Bears at Saints are going to be, I think, a Amazon Prime / Nickelodeon.
Yeah, what is that?
Event. So who would have known that we could say that? The number 6 Rams at the number 3 Seabirds.
Rainy State, City State, Bitch Pigeons.
Yep. Sea-somethings are 4.5-point favorites. So they have to win by at least 5 points for you to win money if you take that. And the over-under on that is 42, probably because they're predicting the Rams' offense to be unpredictable and not really know what to expect. And probably they're looking at that to be a defensive struggle. And of all the games, that is actually the projected low scoring on the over-under. So they're expecting that to be a kind of like what happened last week with the Rams and the Cardinals. The Bucks play at Washington. The Bucks are minus 7.5-point favorites, meaning they have to win by at least 8. The over-under, and that's 46.5, probably because they're not really sure what Washington's offense is going to do. Those are the Saturday games. The Sunday games, we have Baltimore, who's on the road at Tennessee. And Baltimore is actually a 4.5-point favorite. So Baltimore has to win by at least 5 if you take that bet. That's an interesting one right there. And the over-under, that's 54.5, which is actually the highest of all the games. So they're expecting that to be a shootout. And based on what we talked about earlier, Tennessee's defense or lack of, that could be a very high scoring game potentially. The fifth game, we have the number 7 Bears at the number 2 Saints. You guys know that Michael Thomas is supposed to be back and active for that game. They've kept him out all year for the playoffs. So Michael Thomas is supposed to be active for the game.
Smart move.
8.5-point favorites. So at first I wasn't really going with that, but when I heard Michael Thomas is back, that's kind of an X factor. 48 points on the over-under. The last one is the 6-seed Browns at the 3-seed Pittsburgh Steelers, and Steelers are 3.5-point favorites, and the over-under is at 47. So to me, if you're able to get the odds on the Pittsburgh-Cleveland before the odds change, I would do that because these odds will change every day depending on how much people bet. So with all the news about Cleveland and getting the coach is not going to be able to coach now. The special teams coach is, I think, the head coach. They're missing one of their top offensive linemen. They're missing a couple other people. So if you're better, you'd want to bet big probably on Pittsburgh early before that line changes, because my guess is that line's going to go to over a touchdown probably in Pittsburgh's favor, even though Pittsburgh has been kind of a pretender, maybe kind of trash team for most of the second half of the year, most of the past, 5-6 weeks. But yeah. Kevin Garnett said it best, you know, anything's possible. So we'll see.
Don't quote him.
Yeah. Yeah, I will pull him every week I can.
Every other time.
So, and then before I let you guys get into it, we have the Super Bowl odds on the AFC and NFC side. A couple of these things to really quickly look at is if you wanted to bet $100 on the Bears and the Bears make it or actually win the Super Bowl, you would win $8,000. So that's how that works. And the lowest one is the Chiefs plus 180. So if you put $100 down, the other way around. But you'd have to bet, I think, 180 to get 100 back, since they're the favored ones. Everyone else is, not really. But so, I mean, of all those, Saints a plus 750 looks pretty decent if you want to try to make money off of the bet. Maybe the Ravens at plus 1,100 if they actually get over the playoff woes. But we're not really going to get into that one this time. We'll probably get into that maybe next week once we get less teams to pick on. But with you guys really quickly, with the original contenders you guys had was the Titans and the Packers. We're making Robert change the Packers because they're the one seed. So now he has to pick a different team that can contend. We want to talk about who can contend with the Packers and who can contend with the Chiefs. So, Robert, you originally had the Titans and the Packers. Who do you have now as the teams that can contend with those top two?
Yeah, so I'll go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's kind of unfair. AFC gets one bye week, NFC gets two this year, thanks to the football team making it. I think the Bucs are just going to demolish the football team. So 100%, they're easily going to win that game and move on. So I think their chances to get to the Super Bowl are pretty great. I think the only team they could have trouble with is the Packers, maybe with the weather. But at the same time, Tom Brady's used to that weather, and the Bucs already demolished the Packers earlier this year. So, yeah, I think the Buccaneers can make it pretty far in the playoffs and most likely to the Super Bowl.
We demolished the Bucs this year, so, you know, just so.
You also lost to the Jets.
No, we're at full circle.
Circle life. Okay. Anyway. So you're so the Bucs for Robert, and then the NFC side for Corey. Who do you got? You had the Bills originally. I'm sorry, the Rams originally on the NFC side.
You know, just to make it as biased as possible, I'm just going to stick with the Rams. Now they got their franchise quarterback in Daddy Wolford.
You're so stupid and biased.
I mean, I wanted to go with the Bucs, but now that he said that, he stole it. I'll just stick with my earlier prediction and say the Rams. Defense wins championships. Just ask Jeff Fisher or Kevin Dyson, 1 yard short.
And chicks dig the long ball. That's the other fact.
That's our baseball talk. So
those are facts. That's we two baseball stats for you guys. We're done.
No more. But no, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to trust a team in the NFC. But I think obviously the Packers have the number one scoring offense. Rams have the number one defense. So, you know, put 1v1 against each other. See what happens. I don't know. Do I think that we'd actually beat the Packers? No, but I'll stick with my earlier prediction and see if the Rams can beat them.
You guys. So I'm kind of New Orleans has been kind of a good balanced team. If they have Breeze and Thomas back, do you guys think that the Bucs and the Packers, or not Packers? I'm sorry, the Bucs and the Rams can beat New Orleans if the game be in New Orleans since they're the two seed.
Oh, for sure. You saw what happened last time we played the New Orleans in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, it was like Angels in the outfield. You had some kind of ghosting cap. That's three baseball.
Three baseball reference.
Everyone complained about that hit, but I thought it was a good hit. So
stupid and biased.
They blew a was it a 10-point lead or 13-point lead at home with fans? No excuse.
With good counterpoint with the whole fans. Okay, I mean that's true. That is one of the better home stadiums to play in. So
all you want.
So we'll go to the AFC side. Robert, you had the Titans originally. Are you thinking with the Titans or are you picking someone else?
No.
To beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, to beat the Chiefs or anybody else in the stacked AFC, I'm still sticking with the Titans. Y'all mentioned the defense that is very suspect. But whenever you look at their offense, man, they can put up points with anybody. So I don't think the defense is going to be – the defense is definitely going to be their downfall, but I don't think it's going to completely stop them from getting to the Super Bowl.
It's true. I think for your pick to work, if Tennessee beats Baltimore, you essentially need either Cleveland or the Colts to win so that the lower seed ends up playing the Chiefs first because you don't want Tennessee. I don't think you want Tennessee playing them early. You probably want Kansas City to try to get knocked out by someone else, but I guess we'll see how that plays
out.
That'd
be preferred.
Yeah. Then we got Corey, who had the Bills originally. The Bills are the two seed, so it's probably a strong – I think everyone's supporting it back in the Bills. Now, we did see how the Bills lost last year to the Texans. I believe they were up, but ended up being a close game, but they ended up blowing the game. But are you sticking with the Bills, Corey, what are you doing?
They're just too good. I mean, you saw what they did last week with – I mean, I know their starters played for most of the game, but still they blew that pathetic Dolphins team out of the water. Dolphins out of the water. I didn't even mean to do that. That was pretty good. They blew them out. I mean, I think their offense is just – it's stupid. It's as close to – I mean, they're second behind Green Bay by like a point per game. Obviously better than the Titans, who are ranked four. So I think it's a no-brainer to go with the Bills.
True. All right. Closing points?
Yeah, just some real quick closing points. The Bills are obviously out there in scoring points, but let's not forget the Titans blew them out 42-16 earlier in the year. So
it's a good point.
We'll end on that.
So we're going to give this round to Titans Robert. Defense.
They're ranked 24th, they're 32. Bills are 16th. So.
You're 100% right on that. I just think you too much dumb biasedness in one segment for me. From yeah. No, I mean, good stats, good points. Defense does win championships. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting playoffs, and looking forward to talking to the games and looking forward to talking about it again next week. So we're gonna split that one, and we're going to give that 1-1 segments. And then we're going to move on to segment 3, and we're going to talk some hockey. So we just started a fantasy hockey league, and we got a couple people in here, including Robert, who doesn't really have much experience, and he's going to join. So we figured that myself and Corey, would kind of give him some kind of information. We'll teach him on our segment, our podcast segment, and maybe a couple other people that are looking to do fantasy hockey, some things to kind of look at and some things to consider. And we're going to give you guys some people to kind of look at the draft as kind of, maybe you don't have to draft them, but maybe kind of like an example of things to look for. We by no means are fantasy hockey experts. I dabble in it, but Corey and myself, we're big hockey fans. So we know enough to get by, I'm pretty sure. We can at least pronounce names, and we at least know if they're actual hockey players when you say their last name.
Fact.
Starting with, we want to talk about the first thing to kind of like look at when if you're going to join a hockey league is knowing the league type. So are you going to have, you know, the scoring system? Is it going to be like a head-to-head league, or is it going to be like a standard scoring where they just accumulate points throughout the whole year? To me, I kind of like a head-to-head matchup, so it's a week-by-week, so you have more reason to pay attention, because if you fall behind on a season-long format, you probably lose interest after 3-4 weeks. Now, we made this a money league to kind of drive people's interest, but even still – to me, that makes it a little more fair, but obviously knowing what kind of league you're going into is helful. The second thing is knowing the scoring category. So for us, we did goals, assists, power play points. Now people can break that up to power play goals and assists and be separate. To me, that's too much work. The plus minus, which Robert, I'm going to ask you, put you on the spot. This is not part of your quiz, but do you know what the plus minus is for a hockey stat?
Nope.
So the plus minus is on a regular playing surface, an even playing surface. If it's like a 5-on-5, not a power play or anything like that, meaning that there's one more person than the other team.
No double minus.
So if it's a 5-on-5 and one team scores a goal, the team that scores a goal, all those players get a plus because they're on the ice for that. So that's how you get a plus. If you're the team that scored against and it was an even 5-on-5, then it's a minus. Does that make sense?
Oh, Robert? Yeah.
Okay. Again, I'll take notes. The other category is you have shots, pretty standard shots that actually are registered. So sometimes if they hit the post, sometimes they don't consider that an actual shot. If it's a shot on goal, that's the actual category. Then you have hits. So some players just are nasty and go after people. You know, if you have someone like Alexander Ovechkin, he's the kind of guy that's going to get you goals and hits and shots. He'll fill those three categories up. The last one that we have is penalty minutes. So, do you have a guy out there that's just really – just going to go out for fights, which hockey isn't really kind of like that anymore. But that's when you have kind of like the people that Corey loves to chuck on the Flames. That maybe your kind of guy that gets some penalty minutes and some hits and some shots, and you know he plays on top six, so it gets you some stats there. Then you have your goalie category, so you need to kind of separate your goalie players from your regular skaters. In goalie categories, you have your wins, your shutouts, meaning obviously they did not allow any goals for the time they played, for the whole game they played. Your goals against average, and then your save percentage. So those kind of go hand in hand together. But just knowing that kind of stuff, knowing the categories. That, for example, those are our categories. But knowing the categories you guys are playing in, sometimes the default adds extra things in, and you want to make sure you understand what the hell it's talking about, because sometimes there's some weird, obscure things that are in there. So next thing is like understanding what kind of draft it's going to be. So for us, we're doing an auction draft. If you haven't done an auction draft, the reason why we do auction drafts. To me, you have the opportunity to draft anyone you want, and that's kind of the beauty in doing an auction draft. If you actually show up to the auction draft, which Corey can vouch for. If you don't show up to the auction draft, essentially you're in the worst position than a snake draft probably.
Yeah, you get Drew Lock as your quarterback, like we talked about.
Yeah, quarterback. Because if you don't show up to the auction draft, you'll essentially, the computer-generated price that they'll bid for you will be whatever the average price is. So if you want to go above someone else, you can outbid the computer guy anytime you want just by being there. So if you're doing auction draft, you have to be there. Otherwise, you're pretty much, you got no chance.
Yeah.
So knowing what kind of draft, and we're doing an auction draft, we have a starting limit of 260, knowing the roster sizes that you guys have to fill out the positions, that's also important too. Now, one of those things that we talked about, Robert and myself talked about, he said he did a mock draft and he's trying to get a feel for the pricing. So I can tell you by experience, and Corey, you can chime in. It's kind of hard to do a mock draft when people have no reason to care for a league that's not going to matter, because those people aren't going to do it correctly. For example, I did a fantasy basketball draft for no money, and someone picked the Spurs point guard as the number two pick overall. I don't even remember his name. That's how obscure that was, and it made no sense to me. So, you know, maybe $30 to $40 for a top tier player. That could even go up to maybe 60 or 70, depending on how everyone else bets. So the thing to look for that is if a lot of people start betting high, and then this happens in our auction football leagues, if people start betting $70 on people, let them bet high, throw people out that you don't want when it's your turn to put people up in the auction block, let them spend their money. You can even be that guy that drives the price up, but we've learned from people that if you drive the price up and you actually don't want him, you may get stuck with that person. I'm not sure if that's happened to you, Corey. We know that I've had my situation where I fat fingered a price in and I actually tried to pay $100 for AJ Green, which was my whole cap, and that didn't really work out so well. So, you know, if you have to type those prices in, make sure you do the right thing. So, Corey, you have any input on the auction premier experience from doing the baseball or football drafts, kind of piggybacking back on that?
I've only done the auction draft during fantasy football, but in my opinion, it's a lot more fun. You're more engaged when you're doing an auction draft. Like you said, you get to pick any player you want. You just have to make sure you have the your fake money set aside so you're not kind of stuck with a last pick or a middle pick. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the auction draft in the NHL. I've never done it before, but it should be good.
Yeah, actually, I'm pretty sure all of us, I've ran a couple of the hockey leagues. I've never done auction for hockey, so it'll be a learning experience. And I think we just solidified that we're going to have at least one keeper. So that'll kind of maybe drive up the price on a couple of these high-end players, because you want to kind of – there's like probably maybe top 10-tier players you can build your team around for the next, you know, 10 years, depending how long we do this. But
yeah.
All right, so a couple of things I want to throw out. We're going to give you some recommendations on players that we think should be drafted above their average draft place on ESPN specifically. A couple of people that shouldn't be drafted as high, maybe people that are going to maybe not be as good, so they're being drafted too high. And we'll give you a sleeper each, and then we'll finish up with a little bit fun segment with Robert. So the first thing is I just want to throw out that we also had a short season last year. I think there were 71, 72 games, depending on for some of the teams that were eligible to do that, unlike the Kings. Those teams, what you're looking for, if you're looking for at least an average stat, like if you're a beginner, you're looking points per game. If you had at least points per game, you're at least covering your goals and assists category. That you may not be covering the plus minus, because you know you kind of have to pay attention to who plays on a good team. That's really going to drive your plus minus. And then some of the other categories, you just kind of do a little bit more research. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of talk points per game in this one. So right now, last year there was 22 people that averaged at least 1 point per game in the NHL. Three of them had a minus on their plus minus. So that's saying that you had three people put up a crap load of points, but they were so bad as a team or defensively that they still got scored on even more than they scored. Those three being Connor McDavid and Dreisel, that both on Edmonton, and sometimes they play in the top line. Sometimes they're split up, but they both were negative. So they're not going to help you in that category. However, they were the top 2 point producers. The last person that was a minus, I believe, was actually Sidney Crosby, who was a minus 8, which is, you know, that's kind of unusual for him. And actually, Ovechkin, I think, also was a minus. So if he was a point per game producer, he wasn't. You're looking at pretty much Sidney Crosby as a third person, which is kind of odd. Of those people, only one of them was a defenseman. So maybe that one person is who you want to target. And that defenseman obviously had a bunch of shots on goal. They had a pretty good plus minus, and they were more on point per game per player, and that was John Carlson on the Washington Capitals. So if you're looking to build around someone, that may be someone you want to build around, because there's not a lot of top tier defensemen. We obviously used to see some people that used to be up there that aren't up there anymore, but he's your one guy that maybe you will look at if you're really going to take someone that high as a defenseman. All right, so with that, what we're going to do is we're going to get into what we talk about, pick some players. So I'm going to go with the first one, and we're going to pretty much pick people that were based on their average draft placement on ESPN drafts. So my first one was Oliver Bjorkstrand, who was a winger on the Columbus Blue Jackets. He was drafted on average around 107, and obviously that average draft value is kind of goes hand-in-hand with the auction draft value, because that means people aren't spending a lot of money on him if he's being drafted out late, even on a snake draft. So the reason why you do want to probably take him, he missed 21 games last year, so he's not going to show up on your points if you're looking at pure stats. He was the sixth best goal scorer, 5-on-5. So he's in the whole NHL, he was your sixth best goal scorer in 5-on-5 situations for the games he played. And he plays on the top line for Columbus, because there's not a ton of other top-tier talent like they had a couple years ago. But he's essentially, in my opinion, one of those guys that you should probably draft a little bit higher. Maybe it's a sneaky pick. Maybe I'm ruining myself in the fantasy draft if other people are picking him. But that's the first one that I would go with. Corey, you got someone that kind of fits that same situation?
Yeah, I'm going to go a little different. I'm going to go with a defenseman, Tyson Barrie. He had a kind of a crappy year last year with Toronto. But his previous 2 years with Colorado, he averaged 14 goals, 44 assists, so minus 8 overall. But he's going to be paired, or he's supposed to be paired on that top power play line up at Edmonton. And anytime you're on a power play with Dreisaitl and Connor McDavid, I mean, the dude's going to score. He's a 20-minute guy at night. He's going to score a ton of points. So I wouldn't be surprised if he doubles his point total that next year. So I think he's going to be a sneaky good defensive pick.
And really quick, just to kind of like piggyback on Corey just saying, if you're looking at points, power play points for all the teams that are out there, the two people that he just mentioned that Barry's going to be, you said it was Barrie, right? That's going to be paired with him.
Yeah, he's projected to lead that power play up in Edmonton. Yeah.
So Barry's going to get paired with the two top power play point producers out of Edmonton, and they got 44 power play points and 43 respectively. Outside of them, there's only two people above 30 power play points. So that could be a very good sneaky pick for a defenseman if you're looking for to fill probably three categories alone, because the power points is not going to help your plus minus, but that'll help your goals, assists, and power play points.
Yeah,
and even shots on goal potentially, depending on how much they let them shoot back out there. So yeah, that's definitely a good one. Next one I'm going to go with is Dylan Larkin. So the Red Wings are a dumpster fire, and me and Corey are kind of familiar with that because the Kings are kind of a dumpster fire situation. And Corey, if you weren't tracking, if you want to put $100 down, you would win $8,000 if the Kings win the Stanley Cup. Oh. Just to throw it out there.
$100?
Yeah, just $100.
I'll throw a grand on them.
You probably sell one of your kids for that price.
Maybe. I mean, e-babies.
Yeah, maybe. So Dylan Larkin, he did not do as good as his first year. This is pretty much his third full season he'll be going into, but he is on the top line. And he's going to be paired with two other really young players. So Detroit added some other veterans, so maybe that power play will be better because they were last year the 29th-ranked power play. They added a couple veterans, so that may help them out. The other thing to look at was they were actually technically when you turn – in terms of rating, and we're talking like all these crazy hockey metrics, they were the sixth best line in hockey goals four. So they were putting up points. The thing is, are they going to be able to prevent some of those points being scored against them, some of those goals being scored against them? So if the Red Wings get – some better defensive play, if that young line gels better and plays together for another year, he could be someone that is a sneaky good pick. He was drafted on average 119th. So once again, people aren't paying a lot for him. So I could see him being taken in auction draft, maybe for under 20, maybe for closer to $10, depending on if you kind of stash him, put him out there later on. Because remember, in an auction draft, if you put someone out early, it's more likely people are going to spend a lot of money on that person early. So yeah, you want to kind of protect your people you want. You do not want to put them on the auction block. You are asking to waste money if you do that. So kind of look at who you think other people would want when you put those people out there. So
no, that's a good pick. He's a goal scorer. If he wasn't on the Red Wings, if he was on, can you imagine him on like a top tier team? He'd be sick. So much better.
Yeah. In a better situation.
I'm going to go again, weird, but I'm going to pick a goalie. It's kind of nice to have a good goalie on your team. I'm going to go bold. I'm going to go with Igor Shesterkin. of the New York Rangers, taking over for, I mean, I watched a lot of the Rangers last year for some reason. They kind of got hot at the end of the year. They snuck into that playoff.
Really, really quickly, you watched on television or you watched a tattoo of someone on your arm that was a New York Ranger?
I kind of hold it up to the TV. It just makes me happy. I don't know why. But No, that dude, he's a young kid. I think he's 24, maybe 23. Came over from the KHL. He dominated in the KHL. Went to the Rangers AHL affiliate, dominated there. They called him up. In New York, they got two pretty good goalies. They got Georgiev and Shesterkin, but Shesterkin played 12 games. He went 10-2, 2.52 goals against, .935 save percentage. He should sneak in and take over the starting goalie. I would think I would put him number one over Georgiev, at least to start the year, just based on his numbers, what he did last year. I think he single-handedly got them into the playoffs. So if he can continue that, I know he's not ranked very high. I don't have the actual ADP rank in front of me, but I think he could be a candidate for MVP this year for sure on that team. And I think they can get back in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. And they're definitely a sneaky good team. The Rangers, I mean, they spent kind of big. They had the number two, I think they originally had the number one prospect pool. Now we took it over from them.
We beat them. We always beat them.
Number, so. I mean, yeah, so that's true. We kind of have their number. I know we have at least one Ranger fan that is a dear friend of ours that will listen. So just a reminder to him. But they're definitely an up-and-coming team. So they're definitely very good. I just looked at his ADP. ESPN has him right now at 37. So they have him, you know, going maybe like in the third round. But if you have a goalie that, especially we're talking a keeper league, like if you think that this is the guy that is going to ride out with the Rangers on the next 10 years, because they have a lot of young players that are coming up and developing all at the right time, maybe this is the kind of guy. There's only a couple goalies that are probably worth keeping long term.
Yeah, not many. So
he could be one of them. Yep, he could be one of them where you draft him and you just kind of see how it plays out this year, and he could end up being a steal. So
yeah, just a sneaky weird pick. I try to go bold, but I think that would be a bold move to pick him up. And I know a short sample size we did last year, but I mean, when he played, he dominated. Now that Henrik's gone, and I think he can take over as the next king of New York, even though he's probably not from Sweden, but whatever.
Oh, that's cute. Now we're gonna do two people, or at least one, that probably you should wait to draft or not spend as much for on the auction side. The first one I'm going to go with is strictly off of the name. Erik Karlsson. He was the defenseman you wanted for fantasy hockey 2 years ago.
Yep.
At least a point per game. He was a Norris Trophy candidate every single year. And you could debate that, you know, it should be defensive as much as offensive, but he put up probably the top offensive stats with Brent Burns. But his points per game has dropped. I think the past 3 years has dropped every year, and last year was not a good year. And the Sharks really suffered with that.
Great. I love it. They got eight more years to that contract, I think.
Yeah, they just signed a new contract, a huge, expensive new contract. He just turned 30, so you know he's not. I think he just turned 30 or low 30s. So he's gonna be around for a long time. But you know, am I saying not to draft him? No. What I'm saying is, don't draft him. Don't spend $60 on him. Don't take him in the first or second round. Yeah, maybe that's someone you want to take later on, or if you want to let someone else take him, and if they do bad the first week or two in the season, maybe have a buy low trade situation, try to get Karlsson and just hope he kind of turns around and can be who he's supposed to be. So that's my first one. Corey, do you have one that you want to go off of?
Yeah, I'm just going to go one. I'll let you do a second one if you got one. It's funny you say Karlsson. I'm going to go with his line mate, Brent Burns, up in San Jose. I mean, two reasons. He's on the Sharks. Reason number two, he's 35 years old. And the Sharks, they used to be a powerhouse up on the West Coast. But last year they went from the second top, second ranked scoring team in the NHL all the way down to like the fourth lowest. So they had a rough year. Their offensive numbers showed it. They're projecting Burns to be like a top 10 defensive scorer somehow. I just don't see it. He's 35. He's getting old, slow. He's a perennial loser because he's on the Sharks. So that's going to be my last point with it.
True. I didn't even realize he's 35 years old now. So he's definitely kind of probably on the decline. It's kind of hard to So the last one I have is that I'm going to go with is Patrice Bergeron on the Boston Bruins.
That's a good one, yeah.
So he's So he's a first liner. He has the top, probably you could say the top five, two top five wingers in the NHL. He's played 16 years. He's also a plus 200 on the plus minus. So he's one on not getting all those categories. However, he's only had 1 year where he's actually been more than a point per game player. And he's starting the year without his top two. Well, he's starting without Pastrnak, who's out till maybe February.
And then Marchand.
He's hurt, but he's supposed to start playing. And he's supposed to be, I think, kind of maybe coming back early.
And they lost their best, wait, they lost their best defenseman, right? Right, Wellborn? Which was?
Oh, yeah. They lost Williams.
Dude, I set you up for that. We talked about it. Chara.
Roy Williams, the safety on the Cowboys. So, yeah, they missed Chara. And Chara and Craig. Yeah, lost both of them. So obviously the plus minus may drop there because if you don't have any of those top defensemen, you can't do that as much. So, all right, next we're going to get into the sleeper picks. So for one, mine's going to be kind of simple, but Kapanen on the Penguins came over from the Maple Leafs. He was a top pick from Pittsburgh. They traded him away. They brought him back, and now they are essentially saying the coach Sullivan is saying they're going to pair him on the top line with Sidney Crosby. So anyone that gets to play on top line, Crosby essentially is going to probably pretty much get success. So that's, I think, probably a safe sleeper pick. But Corey, I think you have
I have a very, very bold. It seems like most of the things I do here are pretty bold. So if they do catch, I can say I'm a genius. I'm going to go with an ex-Shark, Jumbo Joe Thornton. I don't think anybody would actually draft him, but I mean, I think it is interesting that at least in the, at least right now in their practices, what do you call it? He's partnered up with Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. I don't know if that's going to continue throughout the year, but I'm just going to say it continues throughout the year. If he's a match with those two guys for a whole season, I think he can put up some points. And he's going to be cheap. Nobody's going to pick him up, so you could pick him up like your last pick or as a free agent when the draft is over. But I think if he plays with those two guys up in Toronto, where they score a lot of goals, so you never know. I know he's always like 56. He's got a nice beard. He's obviously on the downturn of his career, but I mean, if you're taking a deep sleep, he may be worth picking up, putting on your bench, see what he does.
It's true. All right. So this last part we're going to talk about is going to be Robert's chance to talk hockey.
Let's go.
So
let's go.
This part right now for you is you are going to have to identify this player. Is an NHL, or if this person's an NHL player or a Nobel Prize winner.
Jesus Christ. I can't wait.
So ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right.
I'll try.
So the first one, Reinhard Gensel. Is he a hockey player or a Nobel Prize winner?
Yeah, I'm going to go hockey player.
Okay. He's a German. He's the German that actually won the Nobel Prize for physics. So, you got that one wrong.
Did he play hockey before, though?
No, he did not. Well, nobody's on the NHL. The next one is going to be Pat LaFontaine.
All right. Well, simply because the last one was, I'm going to go hockey player this one.
Oh, yeah, you got that right. He's a hockey player. Okay. We got a couple more of these. John LeClaire.
You know, most of the hockey names are ridiculous that I can't pronounce, so this one's actually one I can pronounce, so I'm going to go hockey player.
So that's actually correct. It's a hockey player.
There we go.
I like your strategy, right, by the way.
Thanks, man. I've been practicing.
Matt Sundin.
You know what? I'm going to go hockey player again.
That's correct. Man. What about Pat Falloon?
Pat Falloon. I'm going to go Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Oh, my God.
That's unfair wrong. That's a Corey's child idol as a hockey player. Okay, we got one more. Pavel Bure.
Pavel. All right, so I'm going to go some wild country, you know, Nobel Peace.
Okay, and that is wrong again. That's a hockey player.
This is rough.
just named drop Pat Faloo. So that's amazing.
So it's 3-3. So we'll give you one more. If you get this right, you win the segment then. Trevor Linden.
Trevor Linden sounds familiar, so I'm going to go hockey player.
Your logic is awful.
No, that one sounds familiar, no, so I'm going to roll with
it. Sounds familiar. He played hockey in like the 90s. You all know who that is.
No. He wasn't on NHL 21.
Oh, no, he's not. I don't think there's a Linden on there. So, okay. Well, that wraps up that that segment then. So that goes to Robert. So that's second. And we'll move on to the questions. So now we're going to get to the best part of the podcast, in my opinion. Challenging Robert and Corey's knowledge of all sports. So, for second four, we're going to go through our typical five questions. Currently, right now, Robert is winning 2-1. After that, we'll go to, I don't know, winning kind of based on his selecting of Nobel Prize winners and NHL players, but wins a win.
Yeah.
Right. So, you guys can both win a point on this one. I need the last year your team won the Super Bowl.
Oh, easy. Do you want me to go first?
Go ahead, Corey.
1999, a great year.
Okay.
Brett Hull's in the crease.
1999 season, and they won in January 20, 2000. So, yeah.
Yeah, the 95 season.
Okay, and that is correct. So, we let you guys get a point.
That was generous. That was very generous of you.
Next question.
I appreciate that.
Next question. In the past 5 years, the regular season, the quarterbacks with the best win percentage. I already gave you two of them in segment one, which was Goff and Prescott. So you can't use those again.
Okay.
So the next top 10 outside of that, minimum of 30 starts. You guys are going to name back and forth till someone gets one wrong. Current NFL quarterbacks, regular season, best winning percentage.
So there's how many of them are there? There's 10 of them. So eight more.
Is that what you said? 10. Yep. No. We're going to go. I have 10. I took out the top two. Oh, I took out the two already. So, okay. Corey, you can lead us off since you're losing.
I'm going to go Drew Brees.
Okay. That is correct.
Yeah. I'm going to go Russell Wilson.
Okay. He is the fifth best. Drew Brees was the eighth best.
Okay. I'm going to go the GOAT, Tom Brady.
Third best.
I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh, seventh best.
You said how long is this? 5 years?
Past 5 years and then minimum of 30 starts.
Minimum of 30 starts. Okay. I am going to go with Patrick Mahomes.
That is number one at 826 winning percentage clip. Okay. Robert?
Yeah, I'm going to go Ben Roethlisberger.
Number six.
Oh my God. How many more are there?
Four left.
Oh my God. You already went Russell Wilson.
You did.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. I feel so stupid.
You concede?
Even like, I can't even think.
Oh, five, four, we're going to shot clock. Three, two, one. Robert for the steal and win.
I don't even have one.
Oh, man, steal and win. I'm going to go with Philip Rivers.
Nope.
I was going to go with him, but I didn't because I'm. I won.
Wow. So we're going 1-1-1. No one won that segment.
What are the other four?
Number two, Lamar Jackson.
Oh, Jesus.
Number four, Jimmy G with a
750
win percentage.
That doesn't even count.
The one you should have picked, Josh Allen, number seven or number eight, Josh Allen. Number 10, Alex Smith. And the reason why I wanted to do this segment was there's two interesting facts to throw on top of this.
And there were two 49ers, ex-49ers.
I'm not even going to get into that. That's not what I was about. Trubisky win percentage is 580. He's number 11 on that list. So he's got a pretty good winning percentage. The mystery, though, Drew Stanton, win percentage, 647, 11 and 6.
Stop.
Wow.
Probably, he's probably a starter.
Drew Stanton. God.
So, so push. You guys are 1-1-1. All right. Number three. Who now has the current longest playoff drought since the Browns and Bucks both made it? Because it was previously the Browns at 17 years and the Bucks at 12 years. Now, who has the longest playoff drought? And on a count of three, I want you guys to blurt out a team. One, two, three.
Miami Dolphins.
Jets.
Ooh, Robert with the Jets. Correct. 2010. 2010 was the last time they made the playoffs.
Mark French. Number, bring him back.
Number four. This is the question we've been waiting for. Robert, next year there's a new NHL expansion team. What is their location and what are they called?
Oh, that would be the Seattle Kraken.
Oh, my.
I was actually worried he would not get that one right.
I'm shocked. I'm sorry. I'm sure.
I'm here for real, boys.
No offense. I'm here for real, boys.
Right. Corey, follow-up question.
Doing your homework. Okay.
Here's a follow-up question. The one that – you ready for this? How many Stanley Cups does Seattle have?
I feel this is a trick question. They have zero Stanley Cups.
And you have been tricked. They won a Stanley Cup in the early 1900s against the Montreal Canadiens. So Seattle has a Stanley Cup championship already to the city's name.
I don't like your so they already have more than San Jose.
Correct.
Okay, nice.
So that's a win-win for you.
It's embarrassing. Yep. Yeah.
So Robert Ray wrapped up the segment, in which means he's the whole podcast. But question five is going to tie in what's going on in the playoff picture. So the question five is, There was two teams that did not have a winning record that made the playoffs in the NFL. Who were the most two recent teams? So you guys can both pick one, and I'm going to follow up question on top of that. So it's a two-pointer kind of. Cool. So Corey, I'll let you go first.
I'll go Rams.
That did not have a winning record and made the playoffs?
Do you consider 500 a winning record?
What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. All right, then I'm going to go Seahawks 7-9. It was I think it was in 2010. I was deployed, and we played each other for the last game. We had to win, and we lost to Charlie Whitehurst.
That is amazing. So that is correct. You did have a point for that. That is more than I want to know.
It's embarrassing.
Robert, can you name the other team that made it recently without a winning record to the playoffs?
Oh, I don't know how recently it was, but I'm going to go with – I can't remember the exact record. I want to say it was 7-8-1, Carolina Panthers.
That's correct. You wrapped up the win.
Look at us.
The follow-up question for the two-pointer would have been, who did each one of those teams beat? Because they actually both won one game.
Yeah, Corey, Seahawks, you remember who you was that the year that Beast Mode entered the world?
100%. That is 100%. Another Saints letdown.
Love it.
The Panthers, Robert, you don't have to answer this. It doesn't matter. Do you remember who the Panthers beat in their one game?
Is that the year that they beat the Dallas Cowboys?
Can I follow up?
That's amazing that you said that. No, it's not the Cowboys.
Was it the year that they beat us?
No, it's actually the year they beat the Cardinals.
I just remember they beat us on Jeff Wilkins missed like a 51-yard field goal to win. They came back and Steve Smith beat us.
Well, sorry. It's a good job.
I'm just tying in the Rams to make me hurt.
I like how you both just assumed I was going after your team.
Yeah, 100%.
So we learned something. We learned that Drew Stanton is a legitimate NFL quarterback. And we also learned that Seattle has more Stanley Cups than some other teams out there.
God.
All right. So now we're going to get to the last segment. So segment five, what we're going to do is we're going to name off the current playoff games. I'm going to give them the spread or the over-under, and they're going to kind of quick-fire pick someone. So the first one we're doing, Robert, you're going to go first on these after me, okay?
Okay.
The first one we're going to do is number 7 Colts. At the number 2 Bills, you can either do the over-under at 51.5 or the Bills winning by at least 6.5. So I took the Colts to either win or lose within 6.5 for me. Robert, what do you have?
Yeah, I got the Colts winning outright.
Okay. All right. And then Corey?
I think the Bills are going to win by more than 6.5.
Good for you. Okay. Number 6 Rams at the number 3 Seabirds. Seabirds favored by 4.5. Over-under is at 42. I'm going to go Seattle 4.5, just so if I'm right, I can talk crap. And if I'm wrong, I can, don't care because neither team matters to me. So, Robert, who you have?
Yeah, I'll go with under 40. You said 43 or 42.5. I'll go under just because the last, last one was 29. I think he's going to be in defensive battle, so I'll go under.
Corey, I'm not even going to ask you. I'm just going to put the Rams are going to lose or be with them.
I'm going to go under. I think it's I think it's going to be a defensive battle. Obviously, the Rams will win, but it'll be defensive.
Okay,
it'll be 41 points. But the Rams will
Bucks win. At -7.5 at the Washington football team. I'm gonna go Washington football team to do +7.5, lose within 7.5, or win. Just because I want to believe that the feel-good story can ruin Tom Brady.
Yep.
Robert?
All right. Yeah, I'll go Bucks by 40.
Okay.
So he's buying points. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to go with Scott on this one. I think Washington's going to they're gonna keep it close. I don't know if they're going to win, but I think their defense will hold them to pretty close.
This is where Chase Young ends Tom Brady.
Oh, I hope so.
We have the Ravens, who are 4.5-point favorites at the Titans, the over-under 54.5. I think that's a lot of points. I'm going to go under. I just feel like playoff football, it's not supposed to be a shootout. I'm probably going to be 100% wrong, but I'm just going to go the under 54.5.
Yeah, I'll go. I think it's going to be higher, but I'm going to just take the Titans outright to win that game.
I feel like you have to. So
I agree with that. I'm going Titans outright as well.
Okay. All right, and then we have two more. The Nickelodeon-hosted Bears at Saints. Saints by 8.5. And the over at 48. I'm going under on the 48. I think it's two defensive teams. Robert?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I'm going under 48. We'll just keep it simple like that.
Okay, Corey?
I'm going under 48 also, but I'm just going to say it that the Bears are going to win. I'm just going to say it.
I'll put a little Bears on the asterisk on our note.
I will throw out one set right there just because the Bears are 1-6 against winning teams this year. I don't think they're going to be able to do it.
2-6.
Two or one Bear fan. Maybe we'll – oh, maybe we have two now.
Shout out.
I did it for him, just for him.
Yeah, you do a lot of things for him. But anyways, the last one is
Browns
at Steelers. I'm going to take Steelers. And, I mean, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to say Steelers by 7. I know the line I gave was 3.5. I'm going to say Steelers by 7 just because I think it's –
yeah,
gonna be a massacre. So I'm changing the odds for myself.
Good call,
Robert.
Yeah, I think Steelers. They played well in that comeback against Indy, but I don't think that's enough to turn around their downfall. I got the Browns winning this game.
Okay. I got the Steelers blowing them out, even though they're a pretender. That's how much of a pretender the Browns are.
just making enemies with certain fan bases. I like it.
Do they have a fan base? Do you know a Cleveland Browns fan?
I do.
Do you?
Damn. Yeah. Good buddy of mine's Browns fans.
Poor guy.
Yeah. He probably cried first playoff.
That's rough. Oh, yeah. For sure. Right.
Well, that wraps up our segment. So thanks. I think that was a crazy week 17. We got hockey starting. We got our draft next weekend. And the best thing for you guys to look forward to is Corey's going to give you his insight on the Little Giants versus the Dallas Cowboys. So before we sign off, Corey, you want to say anything?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Whoever put that, was that Keith? Whoever put that in there on the Facebook page?
Keith,
pretty stupid, but I'll do it. I'll do it for the fan out there. good week of football. I did want to say your voice, Scott, in the ad read was insanely sensual, and I loved it. I don't know. Did you hear it, Wilbur?
I did hear it. Oh my God, I thought the same exact thing.
I wanted to bring it up at the beginning.
Please keep that the whole time.
It was amazing.
I actually like candles. I like candles on a robe on for that one.
I could hear the robe at the floor when you were done. No, that was good. And then we got the IHF, the World Juniors, in and up tonight. Canada versus U.S. The last three times we played for gold medal, the U.S. won. So, 3-0, undefeated.
All Kings prospects again.
Good game, yeah. It'll just be like a mini Kings scrimmage, basically, at this point. Cool. So, Kings 2025 Stanley Cup champs.
Robert, closing.
2085. That's convincing. So, yeah.
Okay.
Good time again. next time. We talk to y'all. It'll be good. We'll be able to do two people live together. I'll be going down to visit Court, so we'll be able to do a podcast together. Looking forward to that.
Cool.
But not as much as next week. Looking forward to the Seahawks knocking his Rams out of the playoffs. I'll be there for that as well. So, yeah, good episode. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll see you back on episode 4. Have a good one.